Srila Jiva Goswami Prabhu Avrubha Mahamahotavati Ti Ki Jai, Sri Varaha Avatar Ki Jai, Sri Vamandev Ki Jai, Nitai Go Premanande. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. So, mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita, Paritranaya Sarunam Vinashaya Chaduskritam, Dharma Sangsta Punartaya Sambhavami Juge Juge, that two general purposes of Krishna descending in the world, to protect the sadhus or his devotees, and to vinashaya cha duskritam, to destroy those who are in opposition to them. Brajadana palana asura kula nasham, the asura kul, the those in the line of the asuras, or the demonic, or those who are in opposition to Krishna consciousness. So it's interesting to note, right? We, a few months back, we celebrated the Nisringa Chaturdashi, where Nisringadev descends to protect his devotee, Prahlad Maharaj, destroy the opposition, Hiranyakashipu. But we know part of Hiranyakashipu's, he had a vendetta. And part of it was that, in his words, Vishnu had killed his brother. So he wanted to avenge the death of his brother. Who is his brother? Hiranyaksha. We learned in the seventh canto that part of the pastimes of the Leela, to allow for all these things, when the four Kumaras were trying to enter Vaikuntha, they were stopped at the gate because they're like Damodar. These four little boys, and Vaikuntha gatekeepers think like, you can't come in here, or, you know, they didn't understand. There are these exalted sages who, due to their spiritual substance, depth, their persona is as young boys. So they're more than ancient, but appearing as young boys. So they were, and they, as Leela would have it, Yogamaya, they curse those gatekeepers. Two, they'll have to descend into the material world. Given a choice. Six, births as, I don't want to say, but six or three, they pick three births as demons. And that means Dantavakra Shishupal, Ravanan Kumbhakarna, and Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. How strong, we think of Hiranyakashipu as being very strong, but in the Ramayana, perhaps, there's one, and well, this relates to Bali Maharaj, so that's good. He's, when Hiranyakashipu is going around the universe terrorizing everyone and, establishing his relative supremacy, as, but more clearly, what David Foster Wallace called being the lord of our skull-sized kingdom, some skulls larger than others. still, relatively speaking, skull-sized kingdom means, in your world, he's in the Patala region, which means the southernmost hemisphere of the universe. He comes to the abode of Bali Maharaj, who we will learn. That'll be my segue to the Vaman avatar. At the conclusion of those pastimes, we're going in reverse order, he ends up becoming the gatekeeper of Bali Maharaj. Not as a dwarf, in another form. So when Hiranyakashipu is, he's, what do you call that when you, it's like you issue a challenge to all the different leaders. It's like the Ashwamedha time, but there's a name for it. They either fight you or either acknowledge that you're the king or fight you. Anyway, like that. He wants to see Bali Maharaj. And remember, the doorkeeper is Vaman avatar, but in another form. And they fight, and he brutalizes Hiranyakashipu. So that when he finally enters, he's saying, like, who's your doorman? It's really a tough character. And it's the Vaman avatar. But to give some hint of the strength, comparative strength of Hiranyaksha, I'm told there's this giant golden ring. And Hiranyakashipu is asked if he can try and lift it. And although he is arguably speaking the strongest man in the universe, he's unable to lift this ring, this giant golden ring, like with all of his strength. And he's later informed that that was one of the earrings of his brother, Hiranyaksha. You understand? Then you can understand something about the relative size of Hiranyaksha. He couldn't lift his earring. So, but that Hiranyaksha, in his pastimes, he is also doing their favorite thing, terrorizing the universe and all the inhabitants. And this causes the earth to enter the nether regions of the universe, like to leave her normal orbit and go down. Remember, we just celebrated the appearance of Krishna. And what is mentioned there is the birth being overburdened due to the weight of demonic kings. It was Lovelock who presented the Gaia theory. Are you familiar with that? Yeah, H.P. Lovelock, the Gaia theory. What he's basically put forth is that the earth is a living being. This is, you know, for those who study ecology and things like this, this goes, you know, some decades back. But he introduced this theory that the earth is the body of a living being and gave various references to that, which we're happy to hear because it's in line with Vedic thought, right? That the earth is feminine and the very earth is her form, what we see, and therefore to be respected, cared for, etc. So factor in then the just as the we hear Swapada Ramanam Prabhish Gita Kirti Barha Pidam Nadavara Bapuna Karni O Karnikam Bibrad Basa Kanaka Kapi Sam Bai Jayantim Shimam Randran Venur Dhaya Sudhaya Purim Gopa Vrinde Vrindaranyam Swapada Ramanam Pravishad Gita Kirti. How to the in response to the touch of the holy lotus feet of Krishna, the earth is shivering in conjugal ecstasy, or Vrindavan more specifically. So on the one hand, shivering in conjugal ecstasy, at the other end of the spectrum, like people say, I mean, this is the era of the Me Too movement. And, you know, women say, get your hands off me, you know, don't touch me. Something like that. The earth doesn't like the touch of these demonic kings and their arrogant strutting. And not limited to them, but Saraswati Thakur compared to the strut of a cock, the male rooster, the way they walk around with such arrogance. He said, but anyone, all you can do, like that, and topple them over. He's saying, that's the strut of the abhiman of Budhajiv in this world. So she's burdened by that. And we see in the example of Kubja, Trivakra, speaking of three, curved, bent in three places. She's told to be Bhushakti, perhaps in Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur's commentary. So it's interesting. She's in a hunchback position. Why? The earth is in a compromised position due to the weight, the burden of these demonic kings. And Krishna, Paritranaya Sarunam Binashaya Jaduskritam, he restores her like that, but to her fully upright and proper and beautiful position. In a similar way, we're told that when the earth is plunged into the nether regions by the demonic Hiranyaksha, that Brahma, who assists in the pastimes, that I think from his nostril comes a tiny boar. You know what I mean by boar? What is it in Russian? Right, because there's pig, hog, boar, you know. Because they have tusks, that specific one. So is it clear? Yeah. The one with the tusks. But comes out of Brahma's nostril, which is interesting, like out of his nose. Yeah. Like cute, you know, around the size of a thumb. But then starts growing and growing and growing and then piercing, going into the sky, piercing the clouds, getting larger and larger and larger until he's an appropriate size to dive into the depths of the universe. Now, it's also interesting to note in the Bhagavad Gita, punyo gandak prithivyam cha. Like we see, we have the champak flowers here, the lotus flowers, so many other flowers, trees, mango trees, jackfruit. They all come from the one soil. But there's not different soil for each one. The earth, it's the earth. The earth can produce, this is some miraculous thing, that whatever the seed, you put it in the soil, And then it comes out in all these different ways. It's really miraculous and wonderful thing. So, punyo gandak prithivyam cha. He says, I'm the fragrance of the earth. Right? And I find this interesting. What is that delicacy in Italy that's found by the truffles? There we go. So the boar has some developed sense of smell. So they use them to find them, the truffles. Right. So it's established they have this. Now Krishna is omniscient. Right. But not in a stereotypical sense. The stereotype of the omniscient is like the supercomputer, Google, that kind of thing. Google, you know, where is the earth at present? You look on Google Maps, it says, you know, at the nether regions of the universe. Directions, you know, how to get there from here. Ask permission to use your location, you know. Like, that's what we think, like, that's how it works. So Krishna's default position is omniscient. But that's boring. Just being generically omniscient is boring. But so if you see in each one of these pastimes, there's always, it shows the Absolute is playful, vilas, that... So how is Varaha going to find the universe? By his default omniscient position? No, with his sense of smell. Right? He is appearing as a boar, has a developed sense of smell, ad infinitum. So in that way, he searches out the earth, right, by fragrance. And then finds the earth, and then sees there's that Hiranyaksha. So, and you can imagine the giganticness of their relative sizes, and they fight. So it's Varaha Dev with one of Vishnu's paraphernalia as Shankha, Gada, Padma, Chakra, the lotus flower, the conch shell on one side. That's very nice. On the other side, Sudarshan Chakra and the Gada. Gadadhar, Gada means the one who carries the club, actually. Gada. So they fight, and Varaha Dev defeats Hiranyaksha, and then with his tusks, right, lifts up the earth and puts her in her original position. Parichanaya sarunam vinashaya chiduskritam. As Krishna with Trivakra, Bhushakti, restored her to her proper position. And in Brihad Bhagavatamritam, we hear Varaha Dev is the and the eighth layer, perhaps, of the universe. I believe it's the eighth, but you can check that. His consort is the earth. I just wanted to make that point. He's Yagyeshwar, the Lord of Yagya, and his consort is Bhumi, Bhudevi. And in... Remember, Nimai Pandit, there's always a segue and a connecting thread, a Chinmoy connecting thread. One day, Nimai Pandit shows up on the doorstep of Murari Gupta, and he's like, you know, I'm like, yes, who's there? And he's as Varaha Avatar. and says, aren't you going to invite me in? You know, and then he enters the house of Murari Gupta, and there's a water pitcher in the corner. And you can still see these in certain parts of India. There's some that are completely round, and they have a spout on the top. They have different kinds. They're made from clay. But that's where you would, like, store your drinking water. So he enters the corner and lifts up as if it's the earth and is in the mood of Varahadev. And Murari Gupta offers some glorification. But who was his son that he killed? What was his son's name? Can't recall right now. But he makes a point. He's saying, if my own son is against devotees, then I will... maybe that's not a good subject. But he makes a point about how the real family tie is the Achyuta Gotra. Hare Krishna. So that's... Oh, and why is... How is that relevant? Is it just an anecdotal pastime? A random bhav that overtakes Nimai Pandit? No, he's descended to do what? To save the fallen souls, to rescue the earth in that sense. So it's consistent with such pastimes. As is the case of Vamandev, the Vaman avatar, which we find in the 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And I think, why these pastimes? Really, it is to always shine a spotlight on devotion and the Lord's love and affection for his devotees. So Bali Maharaj, who will later be included in the list of the Mahajans, the 12 Mahajans in the Bhagavatam, he's ruling over the universe, and his chief advisor, counselor, what do you call it? The advisor to the king. He's the guru of Balima, is Shukracharya. And as kings do, they allow different citizens to come. It's an ancient tradition. That's why you see, and like the kings in England, they had gold like wrapped around their arms, spiraling around their arms. And someone would come and say, you understand? Long strips of gold, like a spiraled bangle. And they'd sit, and someone would come, oh, I have a very difficult situation, you know. They describe their, and then they go, oh, all right. And they take, and like, it's pure gold. They snap it off, give that to them. They go, oh, thank you so much. And then they go listen to the next person. And really, they did this. So it means that they would meet every day, because obviously they're going to meet with their entourage, ministers, the affairs of state, all that, but they would meet with the ordinary people too, who are in some difficult circumstance, and deal with that directly, done, instead of see this person, that person, or we'll vote on it, or not that kind of thing. They help them immediately. So the Vaman avatar, who's Indra's little brother, son of Aditi, so beautiful from the beginning, but he's a dwarf. And again, this, we have to believe that Krishna has a sense of humor also. not appearing in the way that you would expect. And you say, no, I like my incarnations, you know, tall, dark, and handsome. He's a dwarf and very charming. He's also handsome, but not dark, very like golden, radiant, and charming. He's a brahmachari, dressed very nicely, has a little umbrella, and he appears before Bali Maharaj. And Bali Maharaj is very charmed by this young brahmachari and thinks that he should offer some charity to him. And Shukacharya is suspicious. He's of Asuric mentality, so sees this radiant young brahmachari, Brahmin, immediately he's on guard. And Bali Maharaj is saying, whatever you'd like, I can offer you something. I'm in charge, I'm the king, whatever. Something I would like, just whatever. Saying, 3 steps of land measured by my steps. And Bali Maharaj is thinking, young boy, you're inexperienced in the world, and 3 steps of land is nothing. You know, if you go to a king, there's a saying, ask for something that only a king can give. Anyone can give that. You should ask something that only I can give. Oh, well, I believe that what I want, only you can give. But what I want is only 3 steps of land. I've heard that in spiritual life that it can be detrimental to accumulate more than you need. Like Rupa Goswami says, atyahara prayasischa prajalpa, you know, too much collecting, accumulation is, it ruins your devotional attempt. So 3 steps is all I need. I think that suffices for me. I mean, after all, I'm a dwarf. My requirements may be less than the average person. You say, well, suit yourself. But Shukracharya is saying, don't do it. You know, what? He goes, is Vishnu in disguise, great cheater? He's going to cheat you. Well, if it is Vishnu in disguise, then I would be delighted to be cheated by him. He's all good. He's the absolute. Even his cheating is sweet. So I disagree. And we're told in the famous sloka that appears in the Bhagavatam, Gur na sasyat, svajano na sasyat, pita na sasyan, devi na sasyan, namarcha yedyat samupetra mrityum. That even a guru is to be rejected if they become outer directed. And rather than taking us into the subjective plane of self-sacrifice and self-surrender, become outer-directed toward the world of mundane accumulation, and keep us bound instead of mochayed samupeta mrityum, liberate us from death. Muktir hitvanyata rupam swaropena vivastiti. Divine servitorship. So, Prahlad rejected his father. Bali Maharaj rejects his guru in this instant and ignores Guru Ravagya. He is ignoring the order of Guru. Yeah, no, take your three steps of land. And we're told with one step, he covers half the universe. Just as Varaha expands, when he lifts his leg, he starts expanding, retaining his dwarf-like persona, but expand. Now he's a rather large dwarf. Right? He's omnipotent. With one foot, he covers half the universe. The other foot, the rest, and pokes a hole through even the eighth covering. Thereby, the Ganga comes flowing in. Right? The Ganga touch is the foot bath of the lotus feet of Vishnu in more ways than one. So it comes right. Then Shiva runs in, so that's going to devastate everything, catches it in his hair, becomes Gangadhar Shiva. So that's in two steps, he's covered everything. And then turns to Bali Maharaj. Remember, Shukracharya saying he's a cheater. And he even told him, he said, but Bali Maharaj saying, I made my promise. Shukracharya says, there's certain times when lying is acceptable. Yeah. Oh, when? When your life is in threat and danger, if you lie, there's no fault in that. Or if someone's going to take all your wealth. You know, and one of the interesting ones, the ladies will be interested in hearing, said that there's no fault in lying to bring women under control. I find that one humorous. I know in the modern world they say, that is, you know, sexism or sexist, but humorous nonetheless, and maybe based upon reality, but or relative position. But he's giving, listing all these times when you can not say the full truth and it's okay. But now here, he's saying, no, that Vishnu's cheating. Now, but Vaman Dev turns him and says, don't cheat me. And now we're learning something about Krishna consciousness. He's saying, no, you don't cheat me. What do you mean? He said, you said three steps. I get three steps. And now I've covered everything in two. What about my third step? And Bali Maharaj is perplexed what to do. But now we come to the point of what Vamandev and all, every pastime is about ultimately anyway, is shining a light on devotion. What does Bali Maharaj, Vamandev need with a universe? And another capacity is Mahavishnu. Innumerable universes are coming out of the pores of his divine form. Right? So what is one universe to him? Nothing. He's not interested in taking over the universe of the land or any such thing. Bali Maharaj realizes what's going on and how merciful is the Lord to descend and come before him. And he says, let your third step be upon my head. I'm offering myself to you. And he becomes the personification of Atma Samarpanam. We say Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Smaranam Prahlad, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, what? Atma Nivedanam, offering yourself. So he says, please put your third step, your lotus feet on my head. And then we understand why this whole pastime is cast and script by Yogamaya in such a way as to reveal the devotional position of Bali Maharaj. Then Vamandev is very happy. And what does he end up becoming? His gatekeeper. So that later when Hiranyakashipu shows up, he can serve in that capacity. Hare Krishna. And today is also the appearance day of Srila Jiva Goswami Prabhu. His service, he's serving. Like, actually, in one way, they're all serving each other. When the Goswamis are older, Rupa Goswami is taking care. When Rupa Goswami is older, Jiva Goswami is taking care of him at the Radha Damodar temple. But he's also protecting the teachings of Rupa Sanatan Raghunath. How? When Rupa Goswami writes Vidagdha Madhava, Lalita Madhava, books like that, he's just writing straight Krishna Lila pastimes. He's not explaining to you anything other, it's what it is there. That's live streaming highest reality. But if someone else says, well, where does this come from? Or how is this genuine or authentic or legitimate? Or why should we accept it? That's the job of Jiva Goswami. So because his seva, of a seva necessity, Guru Maharaj points out, he went and studied Sanskrit even more. Because it has to be perfect. Right? He's going to defend what is written by Rupa, Sanatan, Jiva, etc., Raghunath. Its legitimacy, its authenticity, and its substance, that it is the highest spiritual substance. And he's going to give reference and prove through the satsandarbhas, etc. That's his position. Rupa and Sanatana, they don't care for such things. As we know in the traveling, conquering pundit, he goes around arguing with people, defeating them, then putting their name in this book is how he makes a living. So he comes to Rupa Goswami and says, I want to debate you. Rupa Goswami, no need for debate. He's like writing Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu or some other book. Where do I sign? You know, sign, defeated by you. Yeah. This isn't a waste of time. Same thing, Sanatana goes on. He's writing, you know, Brihad Bhagavatamrita. I don't have time for that. Here, sign, defeated by you. Go. Man thing, oh, comes the Jiva. You see in my book here, I've got the signatures of Rupa and Sanatana, you know, defeated by me. They admit to defeat and acknowledge my superiority. Jiva Goswami said, I don't believe it. That's not possible. No, I've got it right here. Show me. Hands in the paper. Jiva Goswami tears the paper. I'm their lowly, humble servitor. You have to defeat me. Then, of course, Jiva Goswami annihilates that person. Which later, Rupa Goswami is saying like, oh, well, that's not the best approach. And he is chastising him at one point because he sees a pattern. Balabhabhatta shows up and sees what Rupa's writing. He's also a Sanskrit scholar. He says, I think there's some flaw in what you've written in this line here. Rupa Goswami, okay, I'll change it. Jiva Goswami cannot tolerate that. Then he's down at the Jamuna, like washing the pots and pans. Balabhabhatta comes down for like bathing, etc. And Jiva Goswami's like, I couldn't help but overhear, yes, I see some fault there. Don't worry, it's been corrected. No, but there is no flaw there. What? Remember, he is like a teenage boy. Balabhabhatta is this elderly acharya. And then Jiva Goswami explains to him why what Rupa Goswami has written is perfect. And convinces him. And then Balabhabhatta, oh, I should go back and apologize to Rupa and, you know, thank you so much. You know, returns, tells Rupa Goswami, there's some boy down there, like he washes pots or keeps the place clean or something. You know, oh, him. You know? He explained to me how what you wrote is perfect and I beg your pardon and forgiveness. And, But Rupa Goswami doesn't like that. He sees this thinking, maybe there's some kind of a abhiman, some ego there in jiva that's not healthy. So he says, I'm ousting you from my ashram. You have to go. So Jiva Goswami is now very sad. And Sanatana Goswami Prabhu moving in Vrindavan, and he's their leader, and finds Jiva. So what is the problem? He goes, I've been ousted from Rupa Goswami's ashram.
What? Why?
He sees some abhiman, some ego thing, but Sanatana knows really Jiva, he's willing to sacrifice his good name and prestige and be accused by the Sahajiyas of not being humble like Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, but really this is his service to Rupa and Sanatana. There's no mundane ego there. As in many cases, the devotees have to assert themselves to defend the dignity of their worshipable lords and the Guru Varga. Guru Maharaj has written in one line about Saraswati Thakur, Sri Jiva Tejastiti, like Jiva Goswami. Tej means like fire, intensity, with that sort of intensity. And when he was a child in school and sometimes argue with the other students, you know, Vaishnavism versus whateverism, the teachers, you know, like they called the parents, and the parent is Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Like, you know, your son, he's a little argumentative. You know. And Bhaktivinoda, you know, parent teachers, you know, comes home and tells Saraswati Thakur, we need to talk. You know. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, I'm wondering, I mean, I understand you're perfect, but like, how are you going to get on in the world with this sort of attitude? And Saraswati Thakur, according to Guru Maharaj, said to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, don't worry about me. I'll get by. So, how vigorously and with that sort of tej, fire, intensity, defending, you know, Nikhila Bhuvanamaya, Chinnavich Chinnakartri, the Buddha Bahulam Rigya Mukti Mohan Tadatri, Shitiliri Viri Viri Raga Radhya Radhve Sadvani Vilasaturini Nityam Bhakti Sarantavani. And Baladev, he wrote in glorification of Jiva, Yat Sankhya Pankena Katarka Pankshana Vibharta Gartena Chulupta Diditim Sudham Vyadad Vad Sudaya Maheshwaram Krishnam Sajiva Prabhur Astu Megati. Compare Sankhya to like quicksand or mud, Kutarka, you know, argument to dust and ash. It's like when it's you can't see everything properly. That's false argument, just bewildering people. Vivarta Tarkena, the illusion in this world, like compare the two, a grave, not just a ditch, but a grave. Lupti Diditim. The dazzling light that blinds you, all these things that seem apparently, many things that seem apparently valuable. Jiva Goswami showing what they actually are and defending the line. The dazzling light that robs, Guru Maharaj said, like brainwashing of Mayavad, Samkhya, Gyan, argument, as Kaviraj Goswami says, beware of the whirlpool of the pitfall of false arguments and the whirlpool of unfortunate situations. So anyway, that jiva, so glorious, And so sad to be ousted from Rupa Goswami. So Sanatana Goswami Prabhu goes to Rupa. In this verse, the jive doya name ruche Vaishnava seva nihara chara dharma nahi shuno shanatan. So part of Vaishnava culture is jive doya, is it not, Rupa? Being kind or merciful to jivas. Yes. So there's this one jiva by the name of jiva who's crying because he's been ousted from your ashram. You must take him back. So we see here everyone's being chastised and everyone's being glorified, or almost everyone. Balabhata, Jiva Goswami, Rupa Goswami, but has a happy ending. So, Hare Krishna. So today is such an auspicious day. It's like a trifecta. Tomorrow's also very auspicious, the appearance day of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. We'll meet again. And then, when does Avadhut Maharaj come? Sunday. Night, morning, night? Okay, on that day is Haridas Thakur's disappearance. So, we'll try and say something in their glorification each time. But whenever we need some, like the Shastric reference, the money quote from the Shastra, it's coming from Jiva Goswami. He's always establishing the fine point. Says, of the Shadanga Sharanagati, the Goptritve Bharan, begging Krishna's protection. That's the principal limb. You know, Shravan Kirtan, Vishnu Smarnam, etc. Kirtan, that's the principle, most important part of sadhana. So many things. Jiva Goswami says, we're having an observance, and many times they come, Ekadashi, Dvadashi, Janmasmi, sometime. But sometimes you have to make a choice. Because of traveling or this, do I celebrate before or after? He's saying after, not before. Which in one sense is common sense, but at least it comes from Jiva Goswami. Because how can you celebrate something before it happened? So it happened and then So if you have to make a choice, don't pick like the time before, the day before, whatever, but that's why Gurudev changed our calendar. He's saying, how can you be celebrating something that hasn't happened yet in India? So follow for the major days, the Indian one, and then Ekadashi will do because that's happening locally. But so many things. And Jiva Goswami predicted also that, because they asked him, how should we understand the son of a Brahmin? And he said, and Vaishnava Diksha, saying that like the son of a Brahmin, they still have to undergo some qualification to reach, but they're in a very good position to achieve that. Right? But he predicted that in the future, someone would come who would be transcending the norms of Brahminical society and giving Brahminical initiation to all sections within Vaishnava culture. And that's indicative of the appearance of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who Sri Jiva Tejastiti, It's very Jiva Goswami-like, so much so that sometimes Guru Maharaj would say, in principle, functionally, he is an incarnation of Srila Jiva Goswami, meaning not the exact same person, but functionally and principle and service-wise, rendering that sort of service to the Sampradaya. Promoting the wealth of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, as Jiva does of Farup, Sanatan Raghunath, but taking it upon himself to defend the Sampradaya and Jivadyeya Birakshitam, Rakkak, to protect it from adulteration, from being assailed, challenged, and its legitimacy and substance, like that. So, Srila Jiva Goswami Prabhu, Abhirbhav Mahamahotsavatiti Ki Jai, Varaha Avatar Ki Jai, Vaman Avatar Ki Jai, Mahadvadashi Ki Jai. Hare Krishna.